Greetings, friends, fellow citizens, fellow patriots, and even non-citizens from around the world who are listening in on this week's edition of the We the People Convention News and Opinion Podcast. My name is Tom Zawistowski, and I'm the host of this podcast, and I'm also the president of the We the People Convention. And this podcast is brought to you courtesy of the generous donations of the people who donate to the We the People Convention to help with our mission of protecting and defending individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. You can join them, if you'd like, in donating to our cause at wethepeopleconvention.org. And we thank everyone who does that. We know everyone doesn't have the financial ability to do that, but we do appreciate those who do have that ability, who choose us as one of the groups they support. So welcome to this week's edition. We've got a lot of news, a lot of important stories to cover. So I think, you know, you're going to have a really good show. But, you know, we just got to try to keep things in perspective. For those of you who are new, it's really a matter of sorting through the propaganda and finding the truth in what's going on that affects our individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity, and then doing something to protect our individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. Be that, you know, working on this issue that I brought up last week about stopping the destruction of our children by social media and smartphones, or whether it's pushing your legislators to vote a certain way to protect our individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. It's just a matter of us having to understand the things that happened this week and how they affect us so that we can take action. So welcome to those of you who've been listening for a long time and watching for a long time. Thank you for that. Thank you for your loyalty. And then this, you know, we welcome all of you who are new to our podcast, as we have new people joining us all the time. As you can see, our flag is hanging upside down. For those of you who are new, this is not a sign of disrespect for our flag or our nation. This is a warning to our fellow citizens that we are in serious danger to our lives and our property. And once again, in this podcast, unfortunately, we will have to provide evidence of that, but mostly to raise awareness that we are under attack by the communist Chinese who are trying to take over the world. And Americans just don't believe that. They think it's not true. Well, where do you see the stories I've got in the second half of this podcast? It's true. Just go to wethepeopleconvention.org, and the first thing you'll see is a button that says, "Why is our flag upside down?" Watch it, you know, read it, watch the little links that are on there, and then share it with other people, because it's really important that we understand who we're really fighting, okay? Who we're really fighting. We're not fighting Republicans against Democrats or liberals versus conservatives. We are fighting for individual freedom and liberty versus totalitarian state control of your lives. We're fighting against slavery. That's what we're fighting against. That's what we're facing. And unfortunately, you're going to see some strong evidence of that in this podcast as well. Before we get into the podcast and these meaty issues, we always remember the January 6th political prisoners, because they are a symbol of what is wrong in our country today. They are a symbol of tyranny. They are a symbol that our Constitution has been compromised, is being violated, because our nation is a great nation, or was a great nation until a little while ago, because we were a nation ruled by law and not by men. Unfortunately, as you will see, we are being ruled by men and women who are evil tyrants and not by the rule of law. And until we reestablish that, we will not be the United States of America, right? That's how we define success. When the January 6th political prisoners are pardoned, are given restitution for their crimes, for their alleged crimes, for the mistreatment that was done to them by the deep state and you know, the communists. And once those people, the people in the judicial system and you know, the FBI, the DOJ, the Biden administration, who did this to them, are held accountable, not out of revenge, but are held accountable by the law. And I'm going to talk to you about a place where you're going to see what that means in a minute here, that we will not be in the United States again. Okay? So we pray every week for the political prisoners, their families, and their lawyers, so that God will give them the strength and courage to get through this ordeal that is just basically unimaginable to me, and I'm sure to you. Join me in a prayer. Thank you very much. Please keep them in your prayers every day. Because can you imagine what they're going through? Go, you know, on our website, wepeopleconvention.org, just search on Jake Lang and read the stories and listen to the interviews I've done with him to find out how horrific this has been. It's as bad. I compare it to the internment of the Japanese, American citizens, Japanese in World War II. That if that is the level of crime this is that our government is committing in our name. And we will restore freedom and liberty to those people, and we will make restitution, or we will not be the United States. Okay, on with the news of the day. This is kind of the week. This is kind of related to January 6th. The Supreme Court heard arguments this week about the immunity issue with President Trump. And basically, you know, this is an issue of whether the president can be held liable after he's out of office for actions that he took. And Alito made the point that criminalizing close election contests would destabilize the entire foundation of American democracy. So that was one part of it that I wanted to cover here, and then we'll talk about a couple other things that were said in those discussions. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito suggested Thursday during oral arguments regarding presidential immunity that criminalizing individuals just because they questioned government-run elections would destabilize true democracy. Special Counsel Jack Smith indicted former President Donald Trump for questioning the administration of the 2020 election. The High Court is now hearing challenges as to whether presidents have immunity from criminal prosecution for actions taken while in office that fall within the scope of their presidential duties. Alito said, "Let me end with just a question about what is required for the functioning of a stable democratic society. What is something that we all want?" Alito began. "I'm sure you would agree with me that a stable democratic society what requires that a candidate who loses an election, even a close one, even a hotly contested one, leave office peacefully if that candidate is the incumbent." "Of course," Attorney Michael Dearman said in response. "Now," Alito said, "if an incumbent who loses a very close, hotly contested election knows that a real possibility after leaving office is not that the president is going to be able to go off in a peaceful retirement, but the president may be criminally prosecuted by a bitter political opponent, will that not lead us to a cycle that destabilizes the functioning of our country as a democracy?" Alito asked. "And we can look around the world and find countries where we have seen this process where the loser gets thrown in jail." Okay? And he's saying, so you guys want him to walk away, but now you're criminally prosecuting him for arguing about it. Isn't that against a stable democracy? Alito appears to warn Democrats that should the High Court rule that certain presidential acts are not covered by presidential immunity and Smith's lawfare case against the former president may continue, true democratic norms would be decimated as partisan politicians could weaponize the justice system to their target, target their opponents. And so in these discussions, I think it was Kavanaugh who said, if we allow what Jack Smith is doing, okay, to criminalize the questioning of a political election, then the next president is going to be attacked the same way, okay? Then it sets a precedent. They then went on to talk about things like, well, just exactly, where's the line? Because this is the problem. They're trying to draw a line, okay? And it's hard to do this because a president has to act in office to the best of his ability. And they brought up things like, well, Should Barack Obama be charged for drone striking U.S. citizens and killing them without any warrant or case or anything? That's illegal, folks. Good point, huh? So the Dems are in a catch-22 because they want to get Trump, but they want to be immune. And it's not going to happen. The immunity case, they're going to have to rule that there has to be immunity to some degree. And there'd have to be something really egregious, like murdering somebody, okay, that, you know, would have to be the point where you can charge somebody after they're out of office. But not free speech. That just can't be. And so they were questioning the fact that the left, the Supreme Court, is saying, you guys are criminalizing things that aren't criminal acts in order to not uphold the law, but to basically punish your opponents. You're using the legal system against the way it was designed. And so what happens? Right on cue. Yep. Breaking. Rudy Giuliani, Mark Meadows, Turning Point USA CEO Tyler Boyer, among 18 indicted by Arizona grand jury for election interference, Trump listed as unindicted co-conspirator. Okay? So right away, just like they did in Georgia with the phony Fannie Willis thing, just like they did in Michigan going after the fake electors, okay? Just like they did there in Arizona, a grand jury in Arizona Wednesday indicted 18 Republicans, including Rudy Giuliani, former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, with conspiracy, fraud, and forgery for submitting a document to Congress falsely declaring that Donald Trump beat Joe Biden in Arizona's popular vote during the 2020 presidential election. The court documents identify a prior U.S. president, presumably referring to Trump, as an unindicted co-conspirator. Democratic Attorney General Chris Mays blacked out the names of the seven individuals indicted in the records release. However, it is clear from court documents that Trump's former personal lawyer Giuliani and others were on there. She stated, in Arizona and the United States, the people elected Joe Biden as president on November 3rd. Unwilling to accept this fact, defendants and unindicted co-conspirators schemed to prevent the lawful transfer of the presidency to keep unindicted co-conspirator one, Trump, in office against the will of Arizona's voters. This scheme would have deprived Arizona voters of their right to vote and have their votes counted. But here's the problem. The, quote, fake elector scheme involved alternate electors from seven states where Joe Biden was declared the winner. These electors pledged to support President Trump by casting ballots on November 14, 2020, the date when electors nationwide were required to meet at state capitals to vote. While labeled fake electors, they viewed themselves as contingent electors, which is absolutely legal. They believe they are putting in a procedural vote for President Trump to reserve the right of such a vote in case President Trump succeeded in his legal challenges. In other words, they were just taking prudent action in case they were able to prove that there was voter fraud, reviewing the integrity of the state's election outcomes, adding that it was important to recognize that the Constitution takes precedent over statute. All right? So this is lawfare. This is intended to hurt Trump and his supporters. That's all there is to it. So Mark Levin had a rant on Hannity that I'm going to play for you in its entirety, and I'm going to use a little tool that I've wanted for a long time, and finally I spent a couple hours figuring out how to install this tool and use it. But basically, I'm going to now be able to stop this video and make comments and then start it again and then keep it going again as a way to kind of make commentary on what Levin's saying. So let's see how this works out. Very important what Levin talks about here.
Let's start with the Hitler Youth on our college and university campuses. Joe Biden has gaslit this entire thing with his comments about Israel, his attacks on Bibi Netanyahu, his attacks on Israel trying to defend itself against Gaza and all the rest. Joe Biden is responsible for much of the hate, and that's why he doesn't stand up like a man, like a statesman, and put it down and say it in unequivocal terms. This isn't about Palestine. This is about terrorism on our college campuses. Joe Biden has been on the wrong side, whether it was race and bigotry when he walked into the Senate, and now it's anti-Semitism. He's the anti-Semite president. That's what he is. The Third Reich in the Ivory Tower has been written about. The Third Reich in the Ivory Tower, Hitler's American friends, it's been written about. Buried by the Times, the American media, they're all back. The Democrat Party, the Hitler Youth on our campuses. And let me make a suggestion, America. Aren't you sick of paying for this? We need a BDS movement, a boycott, divest, and sanction movement for all of these universities and colleges. Start defunding them. Start defunding them. Start eliminating tenure for these sanctimonious Marxist Islamist professors. Take our college campuses back from the Soviet-style, you know, fanatics that run them. We don't have to have these no-go zones in our country, these universities in our country. Notice, they're all in Democrat cities, almost all in Democrat states. This isn't happening among Republicans and so forth. But I want to point out something about the Supreme Court case, since you...
So you see that he's, you know, he's talking about the protests, and I'm going to cover that next to, you know, expose who's really behind it. But you know, listen what he said. This is pure and simple anti-Semitism. This is genocide. The people in you know, these protests are chanting "Death to Israel, death to America." That we can't allow. And I'm going to talk about that next. But now Mark's going to talk about the Supreme Court. Here's what he has to say.
I brought that up. Let me say something that hasn't been said yet. The court is sitting there trying to be King Solomon and decide how they're going to cut up the baby, cut the baby in half. And King Solomon said, no. And the mother of the baby said, no, don't do it. Give it to the fraud. Give the baby to the fraud. Let me explain something. Since the beginning of this country, since elections, we have never had a situation where elections have been criminalized by the government. They talk about fake electors. In 1876, three Republican states had a second set of electors. They're not fake electors. They're electors that are set. Congress makes the final decision. There's nothing criminal. There's nothing obstructive about it. A president or a candidate calling a Speaker of the House, calling a Board of Elections official, calling a governor. So what? Big deal. They're allowed to do that. That's not obstruction. That's not a crime either. Or trying to get a legislature to bring their laws back to what they were before the Democrats were in there litigating. That's not a crime either. But you know what? They keep talking about overturning election. An election is decided by the United States Congress that meets in joint session to count the Electoral College votes. Ask Jamie the Red Raskin, who jumps up every time and objected to two times George W. Bush being elected president. Asked them when they jumped up in 2016, said, don't count the electors. Donald Trump's not the real president. These challenges happen all the time. And yes, even when John Eastman said to Vice President Pence, we recommend that you don't do this, that you do that. That's not a crime either. In 1876, that's exactly what happened. How come Rutherford B. Hayes wasn't charged? How come the electors in Florida and Louisiana weren't charged? How come all of a sudden, this entire electoral process is criminalized, where today we don't know what's even legal anymore?
Yeah, that's the point. See, it's all, nobody talks about it. The media doesn't talk about any of these things that the Democrats did as recently as 2016, right? It's absolutely a fraud. And you got to share this video, which I will post for you on our website, with people who are being fooled by the fraud. There's no there here. Arizona has no right to prosecute these people under any rule. And they're going to lose, and they know they're going to lose. It's election interference. Let's pick up with what Mark has to say after that.
You can't have a slate of electors. We used to do that. You can't call a Board of Elections official. We used to do that. You can't lobby a governor. You can't lobby Congress. The Democrats have done this all the time. Let me just say this, Supreme Court, you made a big mistake. And all the legal analysts, too, they're sitting there. What's an official act? What's a private act? No. You're not Solomon. This should not be criminalized. We have an electoral system, a political system. We have states. We have a Congress. They should sort the things out, not you. That's why you can't figure out what to do. This immunity stuff, you were dragged into Jack Smith's world. When you were dragged in it before, you ruled 8-0 against him. When it involved Bob McDonnell in Virginia, he's twisted the Constitution. He's criminalized the election. He's using the 1871 Klan Act, for God's sakes. He's using the Enron Act, which you caught. You're now looking at and seeing if that's constitutional. And a Federal Contractor Act. He looked for anything he could to go after Donald Trump. He has weaponized this process. You do not criminalize the political process. You do not criminalize the electoral process. And now you have Democrat district attorneys running loose doing the same thing. Supreme Court, have the guts to put this back in the box. I don't care what the commentators on CNN and MSNBC say. Have the guts to say, wait a minute. Courts, get the hell out of this business. This is not up to us. It's up to the people, their elected representatives, and Congress, not us.
Yeah, there you have it. Great job by Mark Levin to pull it all together so you understand what's really going on. This is all a fraud. In the Supreme Court immunity, debate this week, these guys are acting, the Jack Smith people are acting like all of that was criminal. None of it is criminal. None of it is criminal. The Supreme Court is going to make sure that the president has immunity, because you can't be president if you have to worry about being charged after you're out of office. You can't do that, okay? Now, there'll be some limits, but it's going to hurt Jack Smith's case. And quite frankly, it looks like the Supreme Court is going to remand that case back to the appeals court to kind of clarify where the immunity lies, and that's going to delay it past the election. And guess what? When Trump wins, when we elect Trump, Jack Smith's going to be fired, and this case will not go forward. So important that the Supreme Court protect immunity for the president, but it's all lawfare, folks. It's all lawfare. Okay, so let's get on, to the, one last thing. This story came out, and it is absolutely amazing that President Trump has been so right so often. So like when he said, they're tapping my wires at Trump Towers to spy on me. And everybody laughed like, what, are you crazy? There's no way. Yeah, so this story comes out. Judge Cannon unmasked redacted documents revealing Biden White House direct ties to Mar-a-Lago raid. Folks, this is just really important. And Julie Kelly covers it. It's on our website at wethepeopleconvention.org. Newly unredacted documents show direct involvement of White House and DOJ in orchestrating a Mar-a-Lago raid on Trump's home. It's called election interference. Everyone involved must be prosecuted next year. Indeed. Judge Eileen Cannon on Monday ordered key evidence in Jack Smith's classified documents case to be unredacted. They tried to cover it up, saying, oh, it was national security. No, it wasn't. It was covering up their crimes. This is standard procedure in the corrupt FBI and DOJ that has to end next year. The newly unredacted documents revealed Biden's White House had direct ties to the Mar-a-Lago raid. The Biden regime was also directly tied to Jack Smith's investigation, despite claims to the contrary from U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland. Before the redactions, Jack Smith wanted to hide the fact that the National Archives had several conversations with the Biden White House. Julie Kelly posted on Twitter the redacted documents and then the unredacted documents. Outrageous lies by Joe Biden, Attorney General Merrick Garland, and DOJ's Jack Smith about independence from investigations into Trump. The Biden White House and DOJ were intimately involved in developing a criminal case against Trump for records mismanagement. It appears in the documents themselves. They show that they were egging on the National Archives to claim, okay, that these documents were illegal, all right? And guess what? Now the story is out. that what they were really looking for, and we thought this all along, they were looking for the documents that Trump has that shows what Crossfire Hurricane was doing, what Comey and Strzok and Page and all those criminals were doing, that Trump has those documents and probably still does. But here's the point. This isn't real. This is third world banana republic. And as Trump says, whether it's Georgia, where the White House staffer is on the staff of Fat Fannie, right, to bring this bogus case against Trump and all his aides, whether it's New York with Bragg, whether it's, you know, New York with the other case, all of those are influenced directly by White House staff. This is a political hit job, even worse than Hillary Clinton paying for the phony Steele dossier and getting the FBI to target her opponent. This is what you're looking at, folks. From Obama to Clinton to Biden, it's all the same. It's all the same. These people are criminals, okay? So I mentioned to you that I had something that I just posted last night. Steve Bannon, in his War Room podcast yesterday, Friday the 26th, he went and he interviewed Mark Pauletta and Jeff Clark from the Center for Renewing America about the current court cases, but more about what is going to happen when Trump wins, when you and I give everything we've got, and this proves that we have to give everything we got to elect Trump, what they're going to do. And folks, they lay out the criminal conspiracy, all of this election stuff, in whether it be in, you know, Michigan or Georgia or Arizona, all the stuff with the FBI, the DOJ, all of them are going to be indicted for a criminal conspiracy to deny Donald Trump and everyone around him and all of us who supported him of our civil rights. It's a beautiful piece. It's in our video section. You will feel better that there's actually a plan of how, right? I showed the flag upside down. I talked about the January 6th political prisoners, that they will not, we will not be America again until the rule of law is applied to the people who have debased our rule of law and misused it, okay? In this video, in our video section, they talk directly about it, and I thought that was the first time I've really seen it so concise, and I wanted to post that for you. So enjoy that. Enjoy that, okay? So now I want to take up the piece that Mark Levin talked about, the anti-Semitism in the United States and what's going on. Again, this is a psyops. This is not real. The people doing this, these protests on our college campuses, which the gutless presidents in most cases won't stop because they are with them, okay? It's all bought and paid for. It's astroturf. It's not real. Americans don't feel this way, okay? Here's your proof. Here's a map. This is a map that was put out that shows where these protests are taking place and that these are paid protesters, whether it's at Yale or Cornell or George Washington, University of Texas, okay? This is a plan. It's an execution of a plan. And so it was really good to see Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu just come out and call it what it is. And you need to share this short video, which will be on our podcast page, with people you know so they understand the truth. This, my friends, is the truth.
What's happening on America's college campuses is horrific. Anti-Semitic mobs have taken over leading universities. They call for the annihilation of Israel. They attack Jewish students. They attack Jewish faculty. This is reminiscent of what happened in German universities in the 1930s. It's unconscionable. It has to be stopped. It has to be condemned and condemned unequivocally. But that's not what happened. The response of several university presidents was shameful. Now, fortunately, state, local, federal officials, many of them have responded differently, but there has to be more. More has to be done as Israel tries to defend itself against genocidal terrorists, who hide behind civilians. Yet it is Israel that is falsely accused of genocide, Israel that is falsely accused of starvation and all sundry war crimes. It's all one big libel.
One big libel and one big lie. It's a lie. The people committing genocide are Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran, who in their constitution say our reason for existing is to exterminate the Jews. There is no document like that in Israel. There is none. Many Arabs live in Israel. They're not exterminated. The fact of the matter is Israel is defending themselves, and these liars are basically using it as a way to tear our country apart. And so it's real interesting that these people are also the same people involved with, oh, the George Floyd BLM protests, and the Antifa protests. It's all the same crowd, folks. And who's behind it? George Soros is paying student radicals who are fueling nationwide explosion of Israeli-hating protests. When are we as a nation going to stop being gaslighted by these theatrics? That's what they are. These are plays. This is not real public opinion. The American public isn't against Israel. From the river to the sea. These students don't even know what river they're talking about. The river to the sea means we want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. That's called genocide. Oh, but these students, no, they're saying Israel's committing genocide because they're attacking Hamas and wiping them out. Because they have to be wiped out. Because if you don't destroy all of Hamas, you're just going to have another disaster like you had on October 7th. But let's get back to the facts of the story. George Soros and his hard left acolytes are paying agitators who are fueling the explosion of radical anti-Israel protests at colleges across the country. Their protests, which began when students took over Columbia University, has mushroomed nationwide. Copycat tent cities have been set up at colleges including Harvard, Yale, Berkeley, etc. I showed you the graphic, the math. An analysis by the New York Post shows that all three got cash from groups linked to Soros. The Rockefeller Brothers Fund also gave cash to JVP, which is this Justice in Palestine group. The fund is chaired by Joseph Pearson and includes David Rockefeller Jr., a fourth-generation member of the oil dynasty, on its board of directors. The nonprofit gives money to the sustainable development and peace-building efforts. And a former Wall Street banker, Felicia Gellum, a retired investment banker who has dedicated her Wall Street fortune to pro-Palestinian causes, funded all three of the groups involved. An analysis by the Post shows how George Soros and Gellman's cash made its way to students through a network of nonprofits that help obscure their contributions. Soros has given billions to the Open Society Foundation, which his son Alexander, whose partner, is, guess who? Huma Abedin, Hillary Clinton's top aide, and the estranged wife of pervert Anthony Weiner, now controls. Who was Huma Abedin? Huma Abedin was an anti-Israel Arab plant in the Clinton camp. Okay? That's what she was. Now, funny, she's in the middle of all this. Just a coincidence. All because she really believes in the cause. In turn, Open Society has given more than $20 million to the Tides Foundation, a progressive non-group financial sponsor that then sends smaller cash to smaller groups. Now, I've got pictures here in this story, and I'm going to put the story because there's much more to it. Here is the sandwiches that are given to the protesters at Columbia. They are from an upscale joint called Pret, where they cost $10 to $12 each for these sandwiches that are being delivered to the Columbia students, right? Here they are getting, Dunkin' Donuts coffee brought to them. Yeah, really, Really, these are protests, right? These are people who really are upset about Israel's treatment of Hamas. No, they're not. They're paid activists who have one goal: destroy America, cause chaos. That's their goal. Destroy America's ally, Israel. That's their goal. It's not real. It's fake. It's as phony as a $3 bill. And so they're not, you know, Netanyahu said, well, too many of these presidents have been unbelievably unwilling to do anything. But in Texas, Governor Abbott did something. Here's a report on that.
And our breaking news coverage continues. We've now learned more than 20 people were arrested after protests erupted at the University of Texas at Austin today. The state responded with a heavy law enforcement presence. In a statement, Governor Abbott said the protesters, quote, belong in jail.
Today's protest at UT joins a rising swell of campus demonstrations across the nation as students speak out against Israel.
Okay, so Abbott gets criticized. Oh, they use excessive force and all that. So let me be clear about something. Because we in the Tea Party, we protested all over the place, in our state capitals, in our local, county areas, and nationally, on the mall, in D.C. Here's what you got to understand. It is a right and protected by the Constitution. It is free speech to gather and to speak and to object about your political views. But you have to do it legally. When we in the Tea Party would go to protest, they would say, you have to stay on the sidewalks, you have to keep moving, you can't block streets, you can't attack people, you can't push and shove the police, you can't throw objects, you can't take over a portion, like in Yale, they blocked a street, okay? They just set up tents in the middle of the street and said, you can't come through. That's illegal. That has to be prosecuted. So I showed you that video about University of Texas at Austin, very left-wing city, Austin, right? They arrested like 34 people. They were out the next day. And then Christopher Wray, you know, wants to say, well, we don't monitor protests. Oh, really? You don't? Yeah, like you didn't monitor the January 6th protests? You didn't monitor every protest I was ever involved in? You liar. It's real simple, folks. Remember when Jerry Nadler said, oh, Antifa is just an idea. My ass. This is an organized group of people, well-funded, with paid individuals orchestrating, leading this, who are attacking America. Until our FBI and DOJ seize them, and not Christian conservatives or Christians or MAGA people, as threats to our country, we will not be America. That's the change we need to see next time, next year at this time. We need an attorney general who is going after everybody who ever gave a dime to these groups who chant death to America, because they mean it. They are our enemies. And they broke the law. You cannot give money. You cannot pay someone to kill Tom Zawistowski, and only the person that kills me goes to jail. If you support them and you're an accessory to murder, these people are accessory from Antifa and BLM and all this crap to burning down our cities, killing police officers, killing citizens, injuring thousands of people. If you gave a dollar, you need to go to jail. That's the position we have to have. And hopefully you'll hear some of that tone in the piece I showed you with Steve Bannon. All right. Now, last week, I really went strong on you about this video where we're talking about, you know, taking away cell phones and social media from children under 16. And I had some pushback from people saying, you know, geez, Tom, you know, you're telling us that we don't love our kids and our grandkids or America if we don't act on this. Well, I'm sorry, but I mean it. If you don't act on this, then you just don't care about America. You just don't care. And I was so excited that after I did the show last week, one of our members, Kathy, a great patriot from South Carolina, sent me a link to this story, which I put out that was amazing. DeSantis signs law to ban anyone under age 14 from using social media. Wow. Are you kidding? This was great. I put out this, you know, story on our website at WePeopleConvention.com, and I said, we must do this in all 50 states, and once again, DeSantis leads the way. If you don't know why, you must watch the video, and I linked to the video, then act to save your family, community, and state. And then I put a link where you could click to download the actual legislation that Florida passed. And do what with it? Give it to your House and Senate members in your state to basically just change Florida to your state's name and pass it and give it to your governor. Now, here's why. Governor DeSantis signed HB 3 Monday, so as of next year, no one in the state of Florida under age 14 will be permitted to have a social media account. DeSantis previously vetoed a bill that would have banned social media for minors under younger than 16 that passed the legislature, but not because he disagreed with the idea. He thought parents should have more of a say and expressed concerns the legislation wouldn't survive a court challenge. So this legislation, which I gave you the link to right on our webpage that you can download and share with your representatives, he thinks can survive challenges in the court. What does the bill say? It prohibits any child under 14 years of age from creating an account on a social media platform. It requires parental permission for social media accounts for minors 14 or 15 years of age. It requires social media platforms to terminate any accounts held by someone 14 or 15 years old unless a parent or guardian has provided consent with a 90-day appeal period, requires social media platforms to use third-party age verification message on new accounts, allows minors younger than 14 or their parents or guardians to request account termination to be performed within 10 business days. The bill also specifies that personal information used in age verification may not be stored and allows actions to be brought against social media companies platforms that violate the bill, which may include civil penalties of up to $50,000 per violation. Yes, yes, that's what we need. We need to stop this. We need to stop this. And so I gave you an action plan, right? On the page where the video is, I gave you an action plan. I said, get a child a flip phone and take away the smartphone now. Cancel any social media accounts they have. You as a parent can do that. You don't need a law. Start to give your kids unsupervised playtime with other kids. You can do this. Talk to your school about banning phones in school. Talk to your school about opening the playground an hour before school for play. Talk to your school about after-school playtime once per week. Talk to your legislators about repealing any law that interferes with unsupervised play. They talk about that in the video. Talk to your legislators about banning anyone under 16 from having a smartphone. Click here to download the text of the bill just passed in Florida. Talk to your legislators about banning the use of any social media by anyone under 16 with penalties. And I said penalties for parents. Talk to your legislators about fining social media companies and phone carriers who do not stop anyone under age 16 from using social media in your state. Talk to your legislators about massive fines, penalties for parents of anyone who distributes deep nude fakes of anyone under age 16. That story is also one I brought to your attention. And then sign up for Let Grow Today for help and ideas at www.letgrow.com. Okay, so there it is. There's a plan that you can act on. You may not be able to do all of it, but everyone listening to this can do most of that. We must save our children. If you haven't watched the bloody video yet, do it. Stop this podcast right now and go watch the video at WePeopleConvention.org. Go watch it. So you understand, this is no joke. They are killing our children. They are mentally destabilizing them. They're killing our future as a nation because the kids who are being hurt by, who are not being able to grow up by doing free play with other children, who do never learn how to interact socially, they're not getting married. They're not having babies. They can't function at work. The future of our nation depends on your acting on this more than electing Donald Trump, for God's sake. Am I clear? So let me just play a clip. I think last week I played a clip, and I played the clip because it kind of talked about the fact that people who are godless and don't have religion are more susceptible to this, and I thought that's important. But I didn't do a clip that talked about what was in the video, and I wish I had. So I'm going to play a short clip now, and I'm going to do the picture-in-picture thing so I can stop and comment. So here's just a short clip from the video.
Okay, and then the last part of my talk. So this is how that was how you can roll back the phone-based childhood. But and I really want to emphasize this. If you just take away all your kids' devices and say, oh, this NYU professor told me this would be good for you, so I'm taking away your devices. Go ahead, have fun, look at the wall. Okay? So you can't just do that. You have to give them back a play-based childhood. You have to really help them spend time with friends, with other kids. That's what they need to be doing.
That is so critical. That is so critical. And I'm going to read an email I got from one of our members who did it and had a great experience when this video is over. So let's continue.
So how can you do that? So of the four norms, how do we give far more free play and independence? Now, everything I'm about to say was either written or developed by my friend and colleague, Lenore Scanese, who wrote the wonderful book, Free Range Kids. I urge you all to read it. It really changed the way my wife and I raised our children. We trusted them more. We let them out in parks in New York City. They had a great time. And so Lenore and I co-founded an organization called Let Grow. I hope you'll all go to it, letgrow.org. And we have some very, very simple programs, and they cost essentially nothing, like zero. So here's what we put in the book. Lenore helped me write these chapters on what schools can do. So if we want a playful school, that is, the kids are starved for play. Kids get very little play. Convicts in high-security prisons get more yard time than children in school do, even in first grade. So there's some very simple things you can do. Please give or mandate or encourage longer recess. Think about when you were a kid. Would you be fine with one 20-minute recess? That's horrible. Kids need a lot more recess than they're getting. And if you think, well, they need to work on their academics too, well, yeah, give them more recess, give them more play, and they'll be able to focus more, they'll be able to learn more. And a really easy way that costs, again, almost nothing, and doesn't take away from academic time is open the playground 30 minutes before class. Let them run around before class rather than rushing to school, getting in their seat, homeroom. So you can add play in the morning. You know, you need one person to be around. Now, they should not supervise. You don't want someone out there blowing the whistle saying, no, you don't you touch him, don't you? You just want someone in case someone gets hurt. But the kids need minimally or unsupervised playtime. Another program, it's so simple, is we call it the Play Club. Most kids are stuffed full of after-school activities. Piano lessons on Monday, soccer practice on Tuesday, math tutoring on Wednesday. In other words, we're turning into Korea, where kids have no childhood. They just study all day long. And this is really bad. Of course, there are some after-school activities, and learning some things after school is good, but what they most need is to play. They need to play with each other. But how do I find other kids? They're all on their video games at home. So we have a manual on how to do this. It's very simple, but you identify one day. Let's start with Friday. Friday is the best day. Start with Friday. On Friday, your school offers Play Club, and parents can sign up for it. It's a regular after-school activity. Every Friday after school, your kid and 25 other kids have Play Club. They're just on the playground. And you put out loose parts play. You put things out for them to play with, not just the swing set. And they will invent stuff. If you just give them stuff, junk, boxes, they'll invent stuff. They'll have an amazing time.
Now, I had one of our people write to me when I brought that up last week and said, these are simple things. Open the playground before school. Have this play day. And they said, oh, you think something that simple is going to help? Yes, It will help. It will help. You have to create the opportunity for kids. You have to do that. And so your schools can play a role in that. And that's what he's talking about here. It's simple, but it's effective and it's important.
And they'll have such a good time on Friday that they're going to say to each other, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? And then they'll meet up and play on the weekend rather than just doing video games all weekend. So it's so simple, but we need a central coordinating device to help the parents do this together.
See, so this is part of it. It's societal. You've got to work for your child and grandchild, but we as a society have to work in our communities. You can involve your church. You can have, you know, play days that your church has. The key is unsupervised. When you watch the video, he talks about what happens, what the human experience is with children learning from children. It's eye-opening. If you haven't watched the video, stop this podcast right now and go watch it. And then share it with everyone you know. Now, I'm going to share this email I got because I want to encourage you. I want you to understand that this can be done. This is from Teresa, one of our members. I watched the video you sent last week as soon as I got it, and I was really impressed by it. On Friday, my 10-year-old grandson was over. He's been cultivating friends in my neighborhood where my kids were raised. A few kids were riding their bikes in front of the house. He asked me if he could ride to the elementary school with them, which is 2 blocks away. I said, sure. He has never been off the block with an adult before this. His mother, my 30-year-old daughter, called to check in while he was gone. She whined, Mom, you let him go? I reminded her that she played with her friends out in the neighborhood at this age. I said a few prayers. He returned in less than an hour. The next day he said to me, thank you, Grandma, for letting me ride up to the school yesterday. I was so gratified. I told my daughter that he had thanked me for allowing him to go up to the school and then added that he has never thanked me for allowing him to be on his phone before. But he thanked me for that. We've all got something out of this experience. Take that to the bank. Teresa. Teresa, God bless you for taking action to save your grandson. To save your grandson. That is not an exaggeration, folks. Watch the video. We today are killing kids. We're destroying our grandchildren. And we can do something about it. And you damn well better. Okay? I'm trying to help you. I ain't getting off of this, folks. I'm not getting off of this for a long time. We did in Ohio, you know what we did? We sent the legislation from Florida to dozens of our legislators. We got every group in the state, every liberty group, every Christian conservative group to say, look at this. Let's press for this. It's not hard. Take the Florida bill, change the state name, put it in committee, pass it, vote on it, reconcile in this House and Senate, and give it to the governor. No excuses. None. The Democrats should be for this. When you watch the video, it's not political. It's not about conservatives and liberals and left and right. It's about our kids. It's about science. Okay? So talk to the Democrats too. Say, watch this video. Here's the bill. Help us pass it. No one should be against this. No one. No one. We must get this done. No excuses, or we will die as a society. Guaranteed. It's not like maybe. It's for sure. You want to protect and defend our country? This is how you do it. All right, before we get to the break, let me just touch base on a couple of things that are important. It was Earth Day on Monday. Oh, wow. Yay. Yeah. So Breitbart put out this article that I will post that you will love. It says climate experts are 0 for 41 with their doomsday predictions. Update 0 for 53. For more than 50 years, climate alarmists in the scientific community and environmental movement have not gotten even one prediction correct. They have a perfect losing record. In other words, on at least 41 occasions, these so-called experts have predicted some terrifying and terrible environmental catastrophe was imminent, and it never happened, not once. Have these alarmists, had one of their predictions come true, you might believe them. But the fact that they're 0 for 41 makes you think, why would anybody believe these people? Because it's not about climate. It's anti-capitalism commies. It's about destroying America and freedom and liberty, individual freedom and liberty. Because if I can deny you fossil fuels, low-cost fossil fuels, I can enslave you. If I can deny you food, I can enslave you. They're doing all of that under climate. But if you go to this article, he literally lists them, okay? One by one, you know, things like, in 1967, they predicted dire famine by 1975. In 1972, they said there'd be a new ice age by 2030. In 1989, they said rising sea levels will obliterate nations if nothing is done by the year 2000. Here's a memo. It's 2023. That ain't happening. It said that in 2028, that Britain will be Siberia by 2024, by next year. Ain't happening. Don't believe them. This is not real, okay? And you got to keep beating that drum and defeating it. And we're winning this fight. But what are they doing? Because of this fight, they're stealing our money and they're hurting us. Biden is marking Earth Day by announcing $7 billion in federal solar power grants, don't you know? $7 billion in new grants. President Joe Biden is marking Earth Day by announcing $7 billion in federal grants for residential solar projects serving 900,000-plus households in low- and middle-income communities. Yeah, you know, in low-income communities, their biggest thing is, I need solar panels, right? You can bet that's true. He also plans to expand his New Deal-style American Climate Corps green jobs training program. That's the real thing behind the $7 billion, and we talked about it when he announced this. The grants will be awarded by the Environmental Protection Agency, which unveiled the 60 recipients on Monday. Biden's latest environmental announcement comes as he's working to energize young voters for his reelection campaign, because we're going to give the EPA billions of dollars to hire you to enact environmental justice, and then further indoctrinate you, and then you're going to vote for Joe Biden, who's destroying you with social media and smartphones and with inflation and with transgenderism and all that, right? See how it works? All right. Young people were a key part of a broad but potentially fragile coalition that helped him defeat President Trump. Some have joined protests around the country of the administration's handling of the Israeli war with Hamas and the Gaza Strip. So this is how they do it. They steal our tax dollars to bribe people to vote for them, okay? Biden used executive action last year to create the American Climate Corps modeled on Roosevelt's New Deal. He announced Monday that nearly 2,000 positions are being offered across 36 states, including jobs offered in partnership with the North American Building Trades Union, all right? It's a plan where Biden told every agency in the government, you must develop a way to use the money that you're supposed to use for agriculture, for Small Business Administration, for the Treasury. No. Don't do your job. Register voters who will vote for me. It's that blatant, okay? But we are taking action. Again, I want you to know they don't just get away with this anymore, because we make people aware and there's action taken. GOP secretaries of state, let me do this. GOP secretaries of state, legislators fight another Biden bucks federalization of government get out the vote efforts. So Republican secretaries of state and state legislators are pushing back against what we're calling Biden bucks, as opposed to Zucker bucks, where Facebook spent $350 million to register Democrats in the cities to beat Trump. Well, now this plan by Biden, which is part of this environmental corps, is to do the same thing on steroids. okay? What called the federalization of voter registration and get out the voter for it, claiming the executive order is unlawful. West Virginia Secretary of State Mark Warner and Mississippi Secretary of State Michael Watson, along with Republicans in Pennsylvania legislature, are fighting President Biden's executive order from March 2021, which turns federal agencies into get-out-the-vote centers across all states. The executive order is often referred to by critics as Biden bucks, which alludes to Zucker bucks, which we talked about just a minute ago. According to the executive order, the head of each agency shall evaluate ways in which the agency can, as appropriate and consistent with applicable laws, promote voter registration and voter participation. Okay? But this is what basically the Secretary of States are saying. Warner told the Federalist last week that he is trying to let the Biden administration know he will not follow the legal directives. He explained that his state is not going to accept these voter registrations that result from the executive order, citing Article 1, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, where state legislatures are given the authority to describe the times, places, and manners of holding elections for senators and representatives. Warner added that duplicate registrations could result from federal agencies registering people to vote, which would create more issues for county clerks. Somebody might already be registered, and doing it again would cause, a problem. Biden's executive order instructs the heads of these agencies to provide recommendations to the president through an assistant to the president. And he said, that's illegal for this to be a plan. So again, they will do anything. I laid out for you in this first half of the program what they will do. We are fighting them. We must continue to fight them. And so if you're in West Virginia or you're in these other states or you're Secretary of State, Mississippi, call them up and say, thank you. Good job. Fight these illegal acts by this rogue, illegitimate non-government. The Marxists who are trying to destroy our nation and hold on to the power they stole in 2020 to rule over us. And in the second half of the show, I'm going to show you, baby, how they want to rule over us, because they're already starting to do it. And if we don't win, they're going to succeed. You've been listening to the We the People Convention News and Opinion Podcast. My name is Tom Zawistowski, and we'll be back after these short breaks. The We the People Convention News and Opinion Radio Program is paid for by donors like you. You can donate to the We the People Convention and support our cause by going to wethepeopleconvention.org or by sending your check in any amount to We the People Convention, P.O. Box 6211, Akron, Ohio 44312. When you're playing a video, including our podcast, you'll see this little cloud button. And if you click it, it'll actually download the video to your hard disk. And this works on our podcast page as well. If you're playing our podcast, and it's going to be loud, so I won't play it for much, but there's our podcast playing, and you can see this little, download button, okay? The other thing you got to notice on our podcast page is that there's a link here where you can send me a message about this podcast. Hey, it was great. Hey, I didn't like it. Something was wrong, or here's a correction, that kind of thing. You can use that link. And then these are the stories that I covered in this particular podcast. And you'll see there's links that go to the stories, to the articles that I used in reporting on that. So you can click on that. You'll also see that you can sign up for our emails and text messages, but you can also watch our podcast on Roku TV and on Amazon Fire TV. And these are the instructions for doing that. So this is all on our podcast page, right? Right on the front page where the yellow button was. So if you click there, this is our podcast page. These are the instructions for watching on Roku TV or Amazon Fire. And I watch our podcast on TV. It just feels more comfortable. So you can do that. We're also on Rumble. If you go to Rumble, you should join Rumble. And it's Tom Z at WTPC. You'll see our podcast there. So you can get us a lot of different ways, including on Apple iTunes. And then this is an audio version of our podcast. If you click here, it'll just play the audio of the podcast. It will not show you the video.
So people can, you know, listen to that while they're jogging or, you know, working out, working in the yard, or just relaxing and just want to listen to the audio and not watch the video. And again, this is available on phone, on your iPad, on your laptop, on your computer, any way you want. And you can share, you know, this, you know, whatever you see. If you're on a page that you really like, and you know, you see an article that you think, geez, I've got to share this article, you know, with someone in my family, you can send them an email by clicking on the little envelope. You can post it on Parler or MeWe. If you click on this, you get all kinds of options, you know, where you can put it on Twitter or Facebook, whatever, which we don't support, but you can do whatever you want. So we ask that you share what you see on our We the People convention site, and that you get more people to look at it, because that's the whole idea here, to help educate people, inform them. And then, as I said before, Link, we're not just about talk, we're about action. And in my podcast every week, which is published every Saturday, so if you know, the new podcast usually comes out every Saturday, and in that podcast, I will ask you to do certain things that will help protect and defend your individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. So that's the We the People Convention website. Come back often, use it to be formed, be informed, and share it with others. Thanks a lot.
All right. And thank you for watching the first half of the podcast. And I think you'll enjoy the second half of the podcast. We have more stories that are shorter and cover a lot of other topics internationally, et cetera. Thank you for just watching and being a supporter of the We the People Convention. I also want to clarify, in that video I said we're not on Twitter. We are on Twitter. It's TomZWTPC. TomZWTPC. Please follow us and repost our stuff. We are on Truth Social. We are on MeWe. Please do that. Please also, we don't mention the podcast in that little ad, that we have a phone app, and you can download that. If you go to wethepeopleconvention.org, you'll see a button right on the front page that tells you how you can go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store. Download our phone app. It's you search on it by typing in WTPC space convention. WTPC space convention. It just kind of ended up that that's the name it's under. And then download and install the app and allow for notifications so that I can send messages to you about breaking stories and actions we need to take in a timely manner. So that's what I use notifications for. But when you download the app, it doesn't cost us anything to send them to you. But we do also send you emails and text messages. Those do cost us money, and you should certainly sign up for those at the front of wethepeopleconvention.org. It's right there. Just put in your email and phone number, because we try to keep you up to date on what's going on, and there's always lots of stuff that's going on. So, you know, we want to make sure that you are aware of those things and that you get to act on them. Okay, so first I want to talk about Israel. We talked about the protest and how that's all phony, and these people, you know, are just, they're the Nazis. They say we're Nazis, they're the Nazis. They want to kill Jews, they want to wipe out Israel, they support Hamas, which is a terrorist organization. It's just like Mark Levin said and Netanyahu said. This is no different than what happened in Nazi Germany, in the 30s, before Hitler took power. We must defeat them, we must stop them. But then there's the real war going on in Israel, which we support, and I talked about that earlier. But here's something that I'm very happy to see. It's called accountability, folks. It's called accountability. Israeli military intelligence chief resigns over failure to prevent Hamas attacks on October 7th. Many of you have said, oh, come on. You know, this was a setup. You know, you really believe that the Israeli intelligence didn't know this attack was going to happen. They wanted it to happen so they could wipe out Hamas. Well, I don't think so. I don't think so. But here's what's really important to me. Just think about it. When was the last time you heard of anyone in a Western nation being held accountable in government for what they did wrong? When was the last time you heard that? I am pleased to see this, okay? That someone is going to be held accountable for that attack. But you notice how no one's accountable when our census was wrong. Nobody got fired. Oh, when these job numbers that are total fiction come out, the people we pay to give us jobs numbers and who don't give us the right job numbers, why aren't they fired? Why weren't the people that put up the the phony Russiagate hoax and went with the Mueller impeachment? How come no one was fired? That's our problem, folks. No meritocracy and no accountability. It is great to see this. Israel's top military intelligence official announced his resignation on Monday over his role in the failures that led to the Hamas terrorist group's October 7th onslaught. Major General Aharon Halavi, chief of Israel's Defense Foreign Forces Military Intelligence Directorate, will step down from the military once a replacement is appointed, the IDF said. The move was coordinated with IDF Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Herzi Haveli and approved by Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, the military added. Once he quits, Haveli will become the first senior officer in the IDF to resign over the October 7th attack. Alongside Haveli, here's a picture of him if you want to see him. There's a picture of him. Alongside Haveli, other top defense officials have said they bear responsibility for the deadly invasion carried out by Hamas on October 7th, including the head of the Shin Bet Security Agency and the IDF chief of staff. None of them has announced plans to resign as yet, though many are expected to do so once the security situation stabilizes. This guy did not resign because the military was going to have to go after Hamas and he needed to do his job, but he's going to resign now. He said the military intelligence directorate under my command failed to warn of the terror attack carried out by Hamas. Haveli said on October 17th, we failed in our most important mission. And as the head of the military intelligence directorate, I bear full responsibility for the failure. He says he carries the weight of that blame with him day and night, and I will always carry the terrible pain of this war throughout my life. So that's important, that he's being held accountable. He's holding himself accountable. That's what honorable people do. Yeah, we're lacking honorable people. We don't have honorable people in government. We have people who think it's okay to look you in the face and lie to you, and then when they're caught, to not be embarrassed. That's a sign of a sick society. So this is, about what's going on with the war. This week, Israel strikes more than 40 Hezbollah sites, not Hamas, Hezbollah sites. Defense minister claims South Lebanon command is decimated after half of Hezbollah's commanders are killed. Okay? On Wednesday, Israeli Defense Force carried a large wave of strikes against 40 plus sites belonging to the terror group Hezbollah. Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant claimed that the military has killed half of Hezbollah's commanders in southern Lebanon. The other half are hiding or abandoning southern Lebanon. He said there would be further actions in months to come. The coming period will be decisive as Israel is facing a number of alternatives to bring security to the north, the Times of Israel reported. So here's the sequence of events. October 7th, Hamas kills 1,500 Israelis or more with horrible acts that were designed to be horrible. Cutting the heads of babies off with shovels. Putting live babies in ovens at 400 degrees so their parents could watch them die. Raping women in front of their husbands and then killing them. Killing their husbands. They still have hostages. They still have hostages. Israel reacts. They go into Gaza. They attack Hamas. And they're pushing them out of Gaza. They're now in a very small area in Gaza where they're attacking them. Iran and the Hutus and Hezbollah and everybody is attacking Israel from all directions because they are trying to protect their allies, Hamas. Then Iran or Israel attacks Hamas leaders on Iranian soil, and Iran does what? They launched that 300 drones and missiles attack last week that did nothing, didn't get through. And what did Israel do against Joe Biden's advice, right? They sent drones and missiles and aircraft to destroy an airfield and the missile defenses right next to their nuclear plants, the place where they're developing nuclear weapons. And they destroyed them with impunity. To say to Iran, we can take out we can take out your nuclear sites like that. Sit down, shut up. So now what do? They go after Hamas is in the south, Hezbollah is in the north. And Hezbollah's been firing rockets. We just had Passover on Monday. On Passover, Israelis cannot celebrate this is a very important religious event because they're in air raid shelters because Hezbollah is sending missiles and stuff into northern Israel. So what does Israel do? Yeah, they go and they kill their leaders. That's their right. Israel's under attack. Israel's not committing genocide. Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, they're committing this. They're the criminals. And Israel's totally within their rights. Okay? On to other international news. Again, you know, why is the flag flying upside down? Because we are under attack from China and now with their allies, Russia, right? And others, you know, Iran's one of them. Russia and China dump the dollar as Moscow announces new trade corridors. This is an important story. Russia announced this week that its bilateral trade with China has almost completely moved away from using U.S. dollars, highlighting the two countries' commitment to reducing their reliance on U.S.-led economic system. Aside from reducing dependency on Western-dominated global currency, these de-dollarization efforts allow Russia and China to avoid the myriad of sanctions now preventing them from doing business in the international market. Western sanctions have helped lead to a boom in trade between Moscow and Beijing since 2022, where it's gone up 26% to $240 billion this year. China has also become the world's leading importer of Russian oil, don't you know? De-dollarization isn't the only scheme Russia is deploying to avoid crushing sanctions. Russian officials announced last week at the United Nations meeting that the Kremlin is spending billions of dollars to dodge Western sanctions by developing new trade routes in Asia. This plan includes two new transportation corridors, one that would link Russia to Kyrgyzstan via the Caspian Sea, another that would stretch from Belarus to Pakistan. The efforts build on previous plans to redirect trade, including a north-south corridor, a railway route first conceived in 2000 that would connect Russia to the Indian Ocean via Iran. Now, again, put this in context. One of the things that makes your and my life amazing, the reason our pounds are worth what they're worth, the reason our dollars are what they are worth, is because we are the world currency. Everyone in the world does business in U.S. dollars because supposedly they're safe. They can be trusted. There's actually laws. There's actually, you know, people can't steal it, except that's all falling apart. And with us printing billions of dollars, we are undermining the U.S. dollar. And then we go to war with these other countries and they're starting their own dollar. Okay, that's what the whole BRICS thing is about. If the U.S. dollar ever ceases to be the currency of the world, everything you and I own, your pension, your home, every dollar in this country will be reduced in value. Estimates are 40%. And what are we doing to protect the dollar? Nothing. Not a damn thing. Because if you're Joe Biden and you're paid millions of dollars by China, if you're Maxine Waters, if you're Nancy Pelosi, if you're Cory Booker, if you're Kamala Harris, if you're Mitch McConnell and you're paid millions of dollars by China to undermine the United States, you sure as hell aren't going to protect the dollar, are you? The enemy is within. Go read the Comer reports. Go to wethepeopleconvention.org and look what Mr. House Member Comer and his committee is saying. The Chinese have infiltrated every level of the U.S. government and our society. Not making it up. I don't make things up. We deal in the truth here at WeThePeopleConvention.org, and you need to do the same in everything you do. So let's continue on the China path, because I said I would show you more evidence that we're at war with China. Well, more importantly, they're at war with us. China developing space weapons at breathtaking pace. Well, what is this about? China's developing anti-satellite weapons as part of a breathtaking military expansion, U.S. defense experts have warned. General Stephen Whiting, the head of the U.S. Space Command, said Beijing has tripled the number of intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance satellites in orbit in just 6 years. Frankly, the People's Republic of China is moving at breathtaking speed in space, and they are rapidly developing a range of counter-space weapons to hold at risk our space capabilities. Counter-space attacks range from disruption of GPS signals and destroying a satellite by detonating a missile in space. Experts have long warned of Beijing's misuse of anti-satellite weapons and the need to clean up space from an environmental perspective. Shut up. Debris still lingers in space from the ballistic missile China fired in 2007 to destroy an orbiting satellite. Yeah, and what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? How about you draw a red line? How about you do what Trump would say? Trump would say, either you bring that missile down or we're going to blow it off the face of we're going to blow it out of space because it's a threat to us. You don't let them have missiles that can destroy our satellites. Okay, you don't let that. You stop that. Why aren't we? Because we don't give a damn. All right? We did pass this $8 billion bill this last week with the funding for, you know, Ukraine, $60 billion, and Israel, and then, you know, it was Taiwan, Indo-Pacific area. We put $8 billion out there. But is that enough? No, it's not enough. They're at war with us. They intend to hurt us. Give me one more quote here. Lieutenant Colonel Travis Anderson, head of Space Force Intelligence Squadron, also said its fleet of 350 satellites, China's, increased 300% since 2018. It allows them to look into the Indo-Pacific and find the U.S. and allied forces' ships. Oh, that's okay. Let's just let them do that, right? Because if we have a war over Taiwan, we certainly would want them to know where our ships are, don't you think? So let me just go from that, which is absurd, to this, which is insane. Exclusive. 700 Chinese migrants apprehended at California border in 1 week. In 1 week. Right? We know that there were 29,000 that came in. Then we were told, oh no, that was per year. Now we're told there's 142,000 Chinese military age men who've come across our southern border and now are inside the U.S. And Christopher Wray wants to go and say, well, you need to pass FISA or there's going to be a terrorist attack. Oh, don't stop those people at the border. No, pass FISA so I can spy on Tom Zawistowski and the people watching this show, not these Chinese people who they don't know where the hell they are. You think I'm kidding? Listen to this story. It's insane. An unofficial report from the U.S. Customs and Border Protections, reviewed by Breitbart Texas, revealed that nearly 700 migrants from the People's Republic of China were apprehended entering the San Diego region in the third week of April. Since the fiscal year began in October, more than 26,000 migrants, they're not migrants, they're illegal immigrants from the PRC have been apprehended. But were they imprisoned? Were they interrogated? The CPB source, not authorized to speak to the media, told Breitbart Texas the number of Chinese migrants, illegals, apprehended represents more than threefold increase from the same time last year. The sources told Breitbart that China is now within the top 10 nationalities encountered by the Border Patrol along the southern border. The bulk of the Chinese nationals are released in the United States almost immediately. So they're apprehended, but they're released immediately, the sources say, as China adamantly refuses to take the citizens back. What? We have only conducted one reparations flight to China, the source lamented. Until that changes, unless we have specific derogatory information about an individual, we are just releasing them. There's just no other option. To release enemy combatants from our chief rival, and there's no other option. Oh, really? The agency remains baffled. It says it right here, baffled by the continued increase in Chinese migrant arrivals, twice as many as PRC nationals entered Southern California than the year before. According to the source, intelligence debriefings yield little information about the migrants, the illegals, and their purpose for entering. Oh, debriefings? How about interrogations by military intelligence? How about a free trip to Guantanamo Bay? Briefings? Really? Debriefings. The language barrier and sheer volumes of crossings and apprehensions is a major challenge, according to the source. Oh, like, we got money to give to frickin' Ukraine, $60 billion, but we can't pay to hire translators who speak Chinese to interrogate these invaders. You tell me this is not a plan? You tell me Mayorkas and Biden and the entire commie regime in Washington that stole our election aren't doing this on purpose? Really? Let me continue. As the incursion of 700 Chinese nationals into Southern California was underway last week, FBI Director Christopher Wray warned national security and intelligence experts on Thursday about the threats posed by China. The People's Republic of China has made it clear that it considers every sector that makes our society run as fair game in its bid to dominate on the world stage. See the upside down flag? See what that's for? Go to wethepeopleconvention.org. Click on Why is Our Flag Upside Down? Fly your flag upside down. Print out the yard sign. Print out the little cards that say we're under attack. And Christopher Wray just said that. Now, let's see, dominate the world stage, and that its plan is to land low blows against civilian infrastructure to try to induce panic and break America's will to resist. And what the hell are you doing about it, Christopher Wray? What are you doing about it, Mayorkas? Attorney General Mayorkas? What are you doing about it? Military intelligence, CIA, NSA, the people who are supposed to watch our enemies, who are allowed under FISA to spy on foreigners who intend to hurt our country. What the hell is going on? Ask your congressman what's going on. Send them this article, which will be linked in our podcast page, and ask them, what the hell is going on, and what are you doing about it? We want to focus on the threats posed by the Chinese government and not cast aspersions on the people of China. But governments are people, and at this point, sources added, we are in the dark concerning who is foe and who is friend. This moron actually said that. Oh, we don't want to blame the Chinese for the actions of their government. How do you think they got out of China to come here? Allard says the facts may be that most of the migrants from the People's Republic of China are actually dissidents fleeing poor conditions in China. But an expert on totalitarian regimes, he believes the current administration lacks the willpower to properly investigate the phenomena. No, they took bribes to not investigate. Totalitarian governments like China are great exploiters of opportunity, Allard told Breitbart, Texas. They recognize weakness and capitalize it on it immediately. You know what it costs? You know how these Chinese people get here? I'm not kidding. In this article, it says they go from China to Turkey to Ecuador across the Darien Pass up through Mexico in the United States. It cost $55,000 per person. You think some dissident from China has $55,000 just laying around? Really? Really? That's how dumb they think we are. That's how dumb your congressman and senator are. That's how dumb they are. We're being invaded. We are being set up to lose World War III. And we're being betrayed by the people in our country. That's the enemy. That's who we're fighting. And we're not doing a good enough job. So this takes us to the whole thing about TikTok. Because when they passed all the appropriations, they then, passed a ban on TikTok. And everybody was like, yes, ban TikTok. And I'm for banning TikTok because it's a weapon of China to destroy our children and our society. Okay? That's a fact. And I understand we should also ban Facebook and Instagram and the rest of it because they're all doing the same thing, just that Facebook and those are other ones are under the control of our government to spy on us and change us, where this is under China's control, right? So it's just real simple. It's just a fight about who gets the money, right? Who gets the control? But here's what the CEO of TikTok said, because folks, this ain't happening anytime soon. TikTok CEO Xiao Chu vowed on Wednesday that the company would fight the U.S. new law requiring it to be sold from its Chinese government-controlled parent company, ByteDance, or else face being banned in the U.S. In a video posted to the platform, Chu claimed that the law would take TikTok away from you and 170 million Americans who find community and connections on our platform. Make no mistake. This is a ban on TikTok and a ban on you and your voice, he continued. Politicians may say otherwise, but don't get confused. Rest assured, he said, we aren't going anywhere. We are confident we will keep fighting for your rights in the courts. Chu later claimed that the company has built safeguards that no other peer company has made and has invested billions of dollars to secure your data and keep our platform free from outside manipulations. Total blatant lie. His claims come after reports surfaced earlier this month of a former senior employee at the company, which we covered, who says that he was forced to send American users' data to ByteDance in Beijing, contradicting the company's contention that it operates independent from China. FBI Director Christopher Wray recently testified in Congress, this is a tool that is ultimately within the control of the Chinese government. Thanks, Christopher Wray. Thanks, Christopher Wray, you lying sack of shit. Okay, for doing nothing, for being derelict in your duties. You should be tried for treason next year because you, if we have a terrorist attack in this country, you did it. You made it possible, Chris Wray. You did nothing to stop it. You're a liar. You're an agent of the enemies of this country. Okay. On other things, I talked to you about the AI. I've been talking to you about AI, good, bad, and ugly. Right, we use AI for some things here. We do to use it to get transcripts of videos that we can post, so you don't just have to watch the video; you can read the transcripts. You know, we're using it to do research. Okay, I use an AI called Perplexity, Perplexity, which is better than Google, and it's not Google. And they keep my searches private if I sign up for an account, which costs me like $20. Okay, Perplexity AI. I talked about the deep nudes and how we have to stop that. And we're going to try to roll legislation into any bill passed in Ohio that will make it so bad. If you are a young person and you do a deep nude of anyone in high school or under, that your parents and you will never recover. Okay? That's what we have to do in the age of AI. We have to meet the danger with force, with structure. Here's why. Is this the first AI hate hoax? White principal accused of racism based on fake audio. This is a really interesting story. A pretty dramatic story out of Baltimore today, which reveals what may be the first hate hoax perpetrated with the help of artificial intelligence. The principal of Pikesville High School, Eric Iceward, was accused in January of making blatantly racist comments behind closed doors after an inflammatory audio file was posted on a popular Instagram social media site, don't you know? In the recording, the person speaking refers to ungrateful black kids who can't test their way out of a paper bag. The speaker goes on to question how hard it is to get those students to meet grade level expectations. He uses names of people who appear to be staff members and says they should not have been hired. The speaker says he/she should get rid of another person one way or the other. And if I have to get more, if I get one more complaint from one more Jew in this community, I'm going to join the other side, the voice in the recording stated. Pretty damning. Yeah. The superintendent denounced the comments and launched an investigation. For his part, he denied ever having made the comments. He was apparently removed from his school, and reports suggested that he received threats and had to have police guarding his home. But last month, the Baltimore Banner newspaper revealed that experts had concluded the recording was an AI-generated fake. Today, we got further confirmation of that as police arrested the man they say created the audio in an effort to get back at Iceworth for an earlier investigation. Baltimore County Police arrested Pikesville High School former athletic director Thursday morning and charged him with using artificial intelligence to impersonate Principal Eric Iceworth, leading the public to believe Iceworth was made racist and anti-Semitic comments behind closed doors. Police say Dazon Darian made the recording in retaliation after Iceworth, the principal, initiated an investigation into improper payments he made to a school's athletic coach, who was also his roommate. And Darian is also charged with theft and retaliating against a witness. Okay? There you have it. Is this the first one? Probably the first one that's gotten much notice. We are in grave danger, folks, by this, because I can tell you right now, I could make that tape today. Okay? You can. I can do this whole podcast. I could do a podcast with the AI that's out there today of me doing this podcast, and it's not me. And you may not even know it wasn't me. It's that powerful. How do we stop it? Well, you stop it by really making the penalty steep for people who misuse it. That's how you stop it, right? You get what you incentivize for. If you want good behavior, you need to penalize bad behavior. So, very important story. Okay, now, I talked to you about the fact that this show is intended to inform you the truth about what's going on so we can recognize threats to our individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity in order to stop our country from being taken over by the communist Chinese and making us slaves, right? That's the whole reason you're watching. So let me tell you, they're already doing it. And if we don't do everything in our power, if you're not willing to give everything you got to fight and win back our country in the next 12 months, this is what's going to be your reality. First, now the feds want to track every stock trade you make. The Marxists and the Biden regime once again demonstrate that they have no use for the U.S. Constitution as the SEC announces plan to spy on American stock investments, which they have no right to do. See you in court. All stock trades conducted on U.S. exchanges will soon be surveilled by the government, according to a newly implemented plan by the Securities and Exchange Commission. The SEC Consolidated Audit Trail mandate would allow regulators to efficiently and accurately track all activity throughout U.S. markets. In announcing the launch of this plan, SEC Chairman Gary Gensler stated, "The prior to CAT's creation, regulators lacked a consolidated view of material information on all orders and exchange-traded securities." The CAT plan was originally proposed under Obama in 2012, but remained dormant under Trump. It is currently being resurrected by Biden. This plan ran into some resistance last week, however, from a group of lawyers and retired judges who see it as a historic violation of America's rights. You think? A complaint filed on April 16th by the New Civil Liberties Alliance, NCLA, as a prelude to a lawsuit, called the CAT mandate an unprecedented scheme by an administrative agency to unilaterally set in motion one of the greatest government-mandated mass collections of personal financial data in U.S. history. According to the NCLA and others who have joined the legal action, the plan expands a trend of already accepted government surveillance, exceeds the SEC's authority, and infringes on Americans' Fourth Amendment protections against warrantless government researches. The SEC has no statutory authority to do this at all, Peggy Little, senior litigator counsel for the NCLA, told the Epoch Times, calling the plan a surveillance system. Why do they need to know every trade you make? Why didn't government need to know that years ago? Because they want to control you. They want to spy on you so they can hurt you. Okay? Oh, but it doesn't stop there. No, 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 no. Here we go. Let's go on with this one. Let's see. This is a new one. Small business owners. New Fed assault on small business owners, investors that you need to know about. I didn't know about it. I'm a small business owner. I had no idea. I sent this out. We got thousands of people when I sent out the text or email saying, attention small business owners, you need to know about this. They're trying to create a database of tens of millions of businesses and all the decision makers in those businesses under the guise of, get this, protecting the U.S. financial system, don't you know? It's essentially an illegal, warrantless search. The United States prides itself on its entrepreneurial spirit. Last year alone, 5.5 million new businesses filed applications, the highest in U.S. history. However, a new scenario exists where small businesses forming in 2024 will be issued penalties of $500 a day and possible jail time if they don't adhere to a new federal regulations that few have heard of. The Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, FinCEN, a bureau of the U.S. Treasury, has quietly enacted new regulations on the Corporate Transparency Act with the goal of safeguarding the U.S. financial system from illicit use, combat money laundering, and its related crimes, including terrorism. To meet these goals, the bureau now requires all new businesses to reveal what the agency refers to as beneficial owners within 90 days of formation. Existing small businesses have until January 1st, 2025 to comply. The new regulation, now get this, requiring small businesses to reveal personal information from any beneficial owner of the company, even though that person may not have any financial investment, has caught small business by surprise. Some small business associations have filed lawsuits against the CTA, including in Alabama, which won its suit earlier this year, but the ruling only benefits the plaintiffs in that case. Okay? Now, Congress didn't authorize this. This is the government, the bureaucrats, the leftists, basically assuming powers they don't have. Okay? You want to know? You want me to prove that? Last month, the SBA of Michigan followed up with its own suit challenging the constitutionality of the federal law requiring businesses to report their ownership to government. They're trying to create a database of tens of millions of businesses and all decision makers. They say it's for national defense and criminal enforcement, money laundering, and other activities. The problem is they're indiscriminately treating all small business owners as if they're guilty of those crimes. It's essentially a warrantless search, said Brian Kelly, Kaylee, president and CEO of the Small Business Association of Michigan. The Small Business Association, representing more than 32,000 small business owners across the state, has filed a suit in U.S. District Court for the Western District of Michigan. The lawsuit contends that small businesses must submit proprietary and sensitive information, including driver's license numbers and password information, to FinCEN without ever being accused of violating any laws. We don't believe the federal government has the power to pass the act in the first place. Most businesses will have to hire attorneys to help them understand which of their managers meet the threshold of having beneficial control. We think it's illegal under the Fourth Amendment. You think? You think? So get this. They don't just want to know that you're the owner. If you have a head of technology, a head of marketing, who is one of these beneficial, you know, owners, you have to get their social security number, their driver's license to the Treasury Department when you've done nothing wrong? Is that not totalitarian? Are you not mad as hell if you're a small business owner that the government would even think to do this? Okay? If you commit one of those crimes, yeah, then they can investigate you. But you can't say, we're going to investigate every single small business because 1% of them might commit a crime. That's what totalitarians do, right? Give up your liberty and I'll give you safety. Hell no. And if that doesn't piss you off enough, let's go on to the next one, because this is a beauty. Biden regulators passes rule with massive implications for many millions of workers. Well, what did they do? The Federal Trade Commission issued a final rule Tuesday banning non-compete agreements nationwide, affecting millions of Americans. Regulators argue that banning non-compete contracts, non-compete, whether you hire someone, they are part of you developing AI or some, you know, really, you know, proprietary new gadget. They're part of your team. You sign a non-compete so that if you leave the company, you can't steal what you learned there. They're saying, oh, no, you can't do that. And letting increases innovation. Regulators argue that banning non-competes will promote competition by giving workers greater ability to switch jobs, increase innovation, and lead to more businesses being created, according to their announcement. It estimates that around 18% of U.S. workers, or 30 million people, are covered under a non-compete, and the new rule applies to anyone not in a senior executive role, which is defined as someone who is making more than $150,000 a year and in a policy-making decision. Really? I could not have started my company. I had non-competes with my employees because I invented something that I didn't want stolen. Okay? They want to get rid of this. Under the rules, workers under existing non-competes will need to be notified by employers that their agreements will not be enforced in the future. The FTC arrived at the decision in a 3-2 vote. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce announced Tuesday that it will be suing the administration to block the rule change. Today, three unelected commissioners have unilaterally decided that they have the authority to declare what a legitimate business decision and what's not by moving to ban non-compete agreements in all sectors of the economy, Susan Clark, president and CEO of the Chamber of Commerce, said in the announcement. This decision sets a dangerous precedent for government mismanagement of business and can harm employers, workers, and our economy. The chamber will sue the FTC to block this unnecessary and unlawful rule and put other agencies on notice that such overreach will not go unchecked. Hear, hear. Where's Congress defunding this? Where's the Republicans in Congress when they are passing the funding for Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan? Why isn't there a rider in there that says, oh, yeah, and we're defunding this part of the FTC, of the SEC, of these groups? Where are they fighting against this tyranny? They're not. They're funding it. We, the Republicans you and I elect, are funding the tyranny being opposed on us, and they want us to thank them for that. Yeah, no thanks. We're not thanking you for that. It's disgusting. Those three things are nothing compared to if Joe Biden wins the election. They're nothing. You will have no privacy in your life at all. Zero. You will be a slave of the state for the rest of your lives. Understand? Is that reason enough for you to fight with all your might to win this election, to donate to the We the People Convention, to our Freedom for All Super PAC, to fund the fight? That's not enough. I don't know what the hell's wrong with you. If you own a business, man, whatever you got, you better get to hell in this fight, because they're coming for you. They'll take everything you ever made and then everything you might make in the future. Trust me. I just proved it. Okay. This is some other news that's kind of interesting. Metaverse loses $4 billion. Facebook stock tumbles by 11%. This is interesting. The company lost $170 billion in market capitalization in one day. Facebook owner Meta registered nearly $4 billion in losses for its metaverse and AI research wing in the first quarter, with the company stock crashing more than 11%. Basically, you know, their group, it's called Reality Labs, registered a $3.84 billion loss between January and March, against a revenue of just $440 million. They're claiming it expects this to continue because the investment in AI is going to be maybe $1 trillion before AI starts to pay for itself. So all these things are out there now, but how do you monetize them? Well, the monetization hasn't come, but this is the cost of it, and they're paying a price for that. And if they don't win the fight, If they don't come up with the AI that is the leading AI, they may never recover. They may never recover. I want to share this sad story with you because these are friends of ours. Conservative news site Gateway Pundit files for bankruptcy. And if this is, you know, this is just what it's about, kids. Gateway Pundit, now this is from Reuters, so this will be totally slanted. The Gateway Pundit, a right-wing news site, filed for bankruptcy one day following litigation by election workers and others who faced harassment after the site made false claims that the 2020 election was stolen. Gateway Pundit founder Jim Hoft, who I know, said in a statement that the bankruptcy filing was a result of progressive liberal lawfare attacks meant to silence his company. This is not an admission of fault or culpability, Huff wrote. This is a common tool for reorganization and to consolidate litigation when attacks are coming from all sides. Huff said the Gateway Pundit would continue to publish during its bankruptcy. The TPG Communications, Gateway Pundit's corporate name, filed for Chapter 11 protection on Wednesday evening in Florida. The company's petition estimated it had between $500,000 and $1 million in assets. The Gateway Pundit emerged as a major player in the quote-unquote far-right media universe by bolstering former President Trump's false stolen election narrative, which covered with coverage that generated outrage and helped increase its audience. The Gateway Pundit faces lawsuits by people who allegedly they received numerous threats after being vilified in false stories. One of the lawsuits was filed by Ruby Freeman and Shea Moss. Remember them? The two Georgia election workers who pulled the suitcase out from underneath the table after everyone was told the Board of Elections was closed because of a water leak and then continued counting and double counting those ballots. You know, remember them in the video? Well, they were the same election workers who recently won $148 million defamation verdict against former Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani. But guess what? That case is under appeal. Guess what? Gateway Pundit is being put out of business, not because they were wrong or they lied, because of lawfare. Go to the Gateway Pundit. Support them. Support their advertisers. Help them survive this, because they've been a real patriotic voice. And Jim Hoft is a top-notch guy. Top-notch. Okay, so under the propaganda and how I just said in that article, Reuters, far right wing, Donald Trump's, lies about the election being stolen. Listen to this story. I want to bring this into focus because it's really important. Hundreds of athletes urged the NCAA to allow men to compete against women. Now, this is in Town Hall. Town Hall is owned by Salem Media. They're supposed to be on our side. You know, Kurt Schlichter and all that stuff. Okay, here's the story. More than 400 current and former Olympic professional and collegiate athletes signed a letter to the NCAA urging them to not ban so-called transgender athletes from women's sports. Separate letters from over 300 academics and about 100 advocacy groups were also sent to the NCAA. Among signatories were left-wing activists like the purple-haired anti-American Megan Rapinoe from the U.S. Soccer team. To deny transgender athletes a fundamental right, it's not a fundamental right, to be who they are, to access the sport they love, and to receive the proven mental and physical health benefits of sports. They're not getting any benefits when you're mentally ill and you're being given puberty blockers and hormones that mess you up. Against the very principles, goes against the very principles of the NCAA's constitution, the letter from the athletes claim. By barring transgender athletes, you would be severely limiting the capacity of your member institutions to protect and support their athletes. Bullcrap. We call on you to be on the right side of history and affirm that sport is truly for all of us. Do not ban trans women from women's sports. So that's the story, right? That's the article. 400 letters. Okay? Well, the Independent Women's Forum, since these rules were enacted, activated a nationwide campaign to drive more than 4,000 letters to the NCAA. Female athletes, letters from female athletes to the NCAA Board of Governors urging them to protect the integrity of women's sports. Women's teams are already missing almost $1.1 billion in athletic scholarship aid as compared to their male peers, even after 52 years of the Title IX federal law requiring equality in athletic scholarships, one coalition letter stated. We urge you to comply with federal law and the law of 21 states and enact a policy protecting the integrity of women's college sports. So there's a big article in Town Hall that leads that 400 letters were sent to the NCAA when 4,000 letters were sent against trans in women's sports. That should have been the headline. 400 trans activists wrote to fight the 4,000 people with common sense who are women athletes. But they didn't do that. Do you see how that's wrong? And so then, this month, this week, the Biden administration released new rules to protect LGBTQ plus individuals under the federal civil rights legislation, Title IX. Going forward, the basis of sex now encompasses the concept of gender and identity, essentially erasing protections that were instilled for women and girls. Not so damn fast. Not so fast. Florida, Oklahoma instruct schools to ignore Biden's Title IX changes pending legal challenges. The state governments of Oklahoma and Florida, and now others, are telling schools not to conform to President Biden's changes to Title IX. Oklahoma State Superintendent Ryan Walters announced Thursday morning that he has instructed schools within his state not to comply with the Biden administration's changes to Title IX, which includes gender identity protections. No, gender identity changes. We will fight Joe Biden every day to keep his social Marxism out of Oklahoma, Walters said in a statement to Fox News Digital. This is a time for states to rise up against the federal government's assault on young girls, and that's what it is. In a letter to state school leaders this week, Walters said he consulted with several other state education leaders and legal counsel regarding serious concerns with the legality of these rule changes, especially as it relates to redefinition of sex to include gender identity. Sex and gender are two different things. Sex is science-based. It's chromosomes, it's DNA, okay? Gender is a mental construct. Please do not make, Walter said in his announcement that he expects legal challenges to Title IX alterations in the coming days and urged schools to refrain from implementing changes until the matter is settled. Please do not make any district policy changes based on these new regulations. These federal rule changes are illegal, and make policy changes before courts come to a defining ruling on the legalities of these rules could put your district out of compliance with other current and legal state and federal statutes. Florida Executive Education Commissioner Manny Diaz Jr. announced a similar intention on Wednesday, calling the new guidelines absurd. The Biden administration maims the statute beyond recognition in an attempt to gaslight the country into believing that biological sex no longer has any meaning. Fight, men, fight, all of you. Call and act. We take action, right? First action, the first half. Watch the movie about social media and smartphones. Start to change your family. Get the phones and social media away from your kids. Get your schools to help. Get your legislators to help. Okay, this is another ask. I even said to people in Mississippi and Florida, you know, that to thank their people. Here's another ask. Florida and Oklahoma, everyone should contact their education department in their state and get them to make a similar statement. Do not follow anything that the Biden administration put out, because it's not a law. Congress didn't approve this, which they did pass Title IX. You can't just do an executive order and change this. Don't take any action. Get your governor or education person in your state to make a similar statement. This will be on the podcast page. Okay? So I'm gonna close with this one because it's just awesome, baby. It's just awesome, right? We must control the narrative to win. And we are winning on this most important thing. This is a survey that was just done, exclusive poll. Americans are open to Trump's harshest immigration plans. Half, including 42% of Democrats, say they support mass deportations of undocumented immigrants per a new Axios Vibe survey by Harris Polling. Here's the graph. General public, 51% approve. Ethnicity, whites 56%, Latinos 45%, blacks 40%. Political affiliation, Republicans 68%, Independents 46%, Democrats 42%. But I got news for you, folks. If you had asked the question properly, do you support the deportation of foreigners who illegally broke into the United States? If you asked that question, it wouldn't be 51%. It'd be 75%, right? They said, oh, if they were undocumented immigrants, deportation of undocumented immigrants. No, no, no. We want the deportation of people who illegally broke, foreigners who illegally broke into our nation and broke our laws. That's what we want. But you're winning the narrative. And we have to, because we have to deport 13 million people starting next year, or our culture will be destroyed. Our economy will be destroyed. Our families, our schools, our hospitals will be destroyed. And they will change the entire electoral landscape of our country, because that's the plan. Go to our video section, search on Paxton, Tucker Carlson Paxton interview. The invasion is a plan to take over the country and make it totally one-party rule by, quote-unquote, the Democrats who aren't Democrats. If you're a Democrat and you think there's Democrats, you're completely delusional. The Democrats are commies. They're owned by Russia. That's why the flag's upside down. That's why your flag should be upside down. All right, so we're going to wrap it up for today's podcast. I thank those of you who've been giving to the Victory Fund, the 2024 Victory Fund. Those dollars helped me do some very important surveys this week. I did some polling to get some understanding of what's going on, what happens with Robert F. Kennedy, if he's in the election, how does that change the vote? Does it help Trump or does it help Biden? Okay, I'll give you an answer. It doesn't help either. Trump still wins. It doesn't really affect it. Okay. Thank you, John, for giving a lot of money. I know you've given a ton of money, John, our good friend and fellow patron, has been with us for years. Many others, Roderick, have given money. Thank you, all you guys. I want to remind you, go watch this video on our website under the video section where Steve Bannon talks about what we're going to do to these people who've debased our laws. And how we're going to bring justice, not revenge, justice to these people and fix our broken judicial system. Go to our website and watch this video this week. I certainly want to thank every one of you who watch this podcast. It's important that you are informed so you can take action. I want to also thank you for telling others about this, because when you tell other people about this podcast, what happens? We have more people who will take action, okay? And we'll get more done. If you have questions, suggestions, if I'm wrong about something, write to me at info@wethepeopleconvention.org. info@wethepeopleconvention.org. We read them all. We respond. Many of the stories you saw in this podcast came from our members, okay? That's why this show is so good and so valuable, and why you can't get this information anywhere else. Because we have 100,000 members, and we have members in all 50 states who feed information into us, and then we can find the truth and bring you the truth. Thank you for all of you who donate to support the We the People Convention. We couldn't do it without you. So I hope you have a good week. I hope that you get healthy if you're sick. I hope that you can be happy warriors, that you find happiness. And I hope that you find happiness in saving your children from social media and smartphones. I hope you find happiness in stopping the trans movement. And write a letter to the NCAA yourself if you're a former athlete and say, you need to ban boys and women's sports. Push for that in your state. That can make you happy, right? I read you the email from the grandma who let her grandson go ride her bike. It made her happy. Be a happy warrior. Do things that make you happy. Fight the fights that you can reasonably expect to win and are worth winning. That's one of our guiding principles. Okay? So until next week, all the best to you and yours. You've been listening to the We the People Convention News and Opinion Podcast, and my name is Tom Zawistowski. God bless all of you, and God bless America.
Try it.